Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cynical Series, and this, the Crossing the Exile Series, where we try to express and share our Blessed Lord and our Blessed Lady's admonition, their not only their advice, but their statements about how important the journey is. Every day we have a battle that can be won or that can be lost. And every day, the grace and graces that can be acquired and shared throughout all of the human community is incredible. It's just it's spectacular. So again, we can't wait till the end. Some of us may never even get to the end. God says, I'm going to give you everything right now if you want it. If you don't want it, that's okay also. Well, it's not okay, but he says he won't force you. So what is okay is we're going to begin with prayer. And first, I'm going to bring in Maureen. I know many of you are saying right now, thank God Maureen's there. Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Peter. Hi, everybody.
So I'm going to bring up the supplication, the beautiful supplication, something that we can use perhaps every day or on those days. We really want to invoke Our Lady. Again, this is the time to bring. I mean, if we love Our Lady, we'll have to love her even more. If we just like Our Lady, we better begin to love Our Lady, because God, Jesus wants us to love his mother like he did. And no matter how much we do love her, nobody but nobody can be more Marian than Jesus himself. So don't worry about offending Jesus by loving Mary. It's not possible. It won't happen. What is going to happen right now is I'm going to defer to Maureen.
Okay. The Virgin Mary in the Kingdom of the Divine Will, 24 Supplication. Lesson of the Mother Queen. Now, dear daughter, listen to how much I and this dear baby love you. For at the dawn of his life, he goes into exile and into a foreign land in order to free you from the exile in which your human will put you, so as to call you back to live, not in a foreign land, but in your fatherland, which was given to you by God when you were created. That is the kingdom of the supreme fiat. Daughter of my heart, have pity on the tears of your mother and on the tears of this sweet, dear baby, as we, crying, ask you never to do your will. But come back, we pray you, we implore you, into the bosom of the divine will, which so much longs for you. The soul to our queen. Most sweet mama, how much I thank you for making me comprehend the great evil of the human will. Therefore, I pray you, for the sake of the sorrow you suffered in the exile of Egypt, to make my soul go out of the exile of my will, and to make me repatriate to the dear fatherland of the divine will. Little sacrifice, today, to honor me, you will offer your actions united with mine, in act of gratitude to the holy baby, praying him to enter into the Egypt of your heart in order to change it all into will of God. Ejaculatory prayer. My mama, enclose little Jesus in my heart that he may reorder it all into divine will. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, Maureen, something just dawned on me, and I've read this supplication many times. The little sacrifice, praying him to enter into the Egypt of your, yes, or the Egypt of our heart. Mm-hmm. So the way I think about that is that, you know, since the fall of Adam, again, you've had, everything has been going the other way. Again, God and Adam were one. And when Adam decided not to be one anymore, he just kept sliding. We'll call it to the left, okay? He kept sliding to the left. And everything in society has been sort of piggybacking on that slide. Now, actually, it's like a competition. Who can slide the fastest into hell, into Satan, into evil, into everything against God? And some of that, I'll say sometimes not our fault, really, not entirely our fault. is in our heart. Maybe in many instances, because we don't know any better. I didn't know any better. I was a sleepwalking Catholic. And I just thought, you know, as long as I'm nice to people and, you know, that's all, just live a good life. I'm good. I'm fine. No, wrong. We're here to love God, to serve God. And now we understand through the explication that we're here to possess God the way Adam did. Again, we knew very little about Adam and Eve. And now we're learning so much more through that explication that the church has given us in the Catechism number 66. So again, we have to get, you know, again, Marina, I think he talks about, you know, getting rid of the old and in with the new. Mm-hmm. One of the things that comes to mind too, with getting this Egypt out of our heart, this X out of our heart, it's we need to form new wineskins for the new wine. But the divine will is the greatest of all wines. It's like the wedding at Cana. God saved the best wine, the most best wine in the universe for last, didn't give it first. And that's exactly what he's doing here with the gift of the divine will. Not because the souls before us didn't deserve it. They probably deserved it more than we do, but it wasn't time. Whatever God's mysterious plan of divinization and giving divine realities and divine graces, he gives it at his discretion. And why not? God is God. And to think about the fact that we're here this evening, we're here today, we're here in this year, amidst all the chaos in the world. And what is he doing? He says, pay no attention to that. Just keep mm-hmm. working. I'm bringing a kingdom while they're trying to destroy everything that man has made. I'm bringing a kingdom that's going to make everything anew. Again, it just couldn't be, there couldn't be a bigger contrast between good and bad. And it's so easy to get sucked into this, whether it be I'm not saying don't watch the news, don't know what's going on, because I think we need to. But it's so easy to get, to get so grasped into it. And then, you know, what does this news station say? What's the next one say? What does this mystic say? What does that mystic say? Now there's no more chasing butterflies. Father Nuzzi had a great statement. We know that Jesus says to Luis and to us that this is the greatest gift that he has given to mankind. We know that to be a fact. But Father reminds us that it's one more than that. In fact, it's the greatest of that. It's that this is the greatest gift that God can give to man. No, this is the greatest gift that God has given to mankind, but it's also the greatest gift that he can give. He can give nothing greater than this because he's giving all of himself. So when you think about that, there is no more chasing butterflies. There's no more going back to where we were, or I want to be with this group, or I want to be with that group, or I want to do this devotion. No, we have to embrace this. Then we can go back and do whatever we want. Actually, Jesus tells us, I think in volume 19, he says, he makes a very bold statement. And again, I think this is worth of some discussion and some true intense prayer contemplation. He says in volume 19, trust no one that is not in the divine will. Wow. Because again, as Our Lady of Fatima stated, even during this diabolical disorientation, which I have to believe we're in the middle of right now, even good people will do bad things thinking that they're doing good. And that's why, hence, you know, trust nobody except those in the divine will, because again, they've already given themselves 100% to God. They've already done that correction that God wanted. They've already began that journey back to the order, the place, and the purpose. Again, stripped of all those things, with defenses all around us to avoid the near occasion of sin, to ultimately avoid sin altogether. Again, trust nobody but those in the divine. Well, that's a very, very heavy statement. And I couple that with St. Cyril Jerusalem, who says, when things get difficult, you're going to have to make some tough decisions. He says, you're going to have to flee from the wolves, gather with the sheep, but never, never leave the Catholic Church. So, unquote. So that means we're going to have to maybe make some really difficult decisions, probably very soon. And this may include family, friends, colleagues, workmates, parishioners, like that one quote, everybody's playing a different game than we are right now. Our old life is in essence, our old life. That was great then because we needed everything that was accomplished or not accomplished. Everything that did go wrong or did go right in our old life, everything had to play out exactly the way it did so that God can bring us to this moment and we can recognize what we have, and of course, what we didn't have. So it's all up to us, really. And that's why I think this journey is so important, Maria.
Yeah, I was thinking, Peter, I don't know if we discussed it last week or where I heard it, but Father Celso was talking about the Essenes and how they were the group of very prayerful Jews. And Mary's family was a part of it, and Joseph's. And all those, the Essenes were the group that were praying intently for the coming of the Messiah. And it seems like they were the group that had their ears to the ground. You know, they were the group that were really praying for the coming of the Messiah, where there were a lot of Jews and there were Sadducees and Pharisees and all that. And I thought to myself, that's what we are. We're like the Essenes of the the era of sanctification. So we see what's happening. And I think our main goal is to pray for the kingdom and not to miss our visitation, like not to miss it. Like when Jesus came, it was the kings and the shepherds. No one else knew. But I mean, when you look at it, the world wasn't that big then. So we could be a part of the Essenes and the kings and the shepherds, and we're praying for this kingdom to come. And I think that's like our main goal right now. Our main job is to pray for the kingdom to come. And when we pray for that, more soul and the souls are saved as we pray and do our rounds in the kingdom. And really, everything else is a waste of time. We are going backwards. Okay, so we know the world's a mess. We know this. We read all this. That's past now. And I don't want to sound like a snobby divine will person, but that's not for us anymore. We have to get on what we're called to do right now. We're the Essenes of the era of sanctification, and just pray for this kingdom and put aside everything else.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. And to put things in perspective, we were. You know, those right now that are not embracing the divine will or have never heard of the divine will, we were they.
Absolutely.
Until somebody or someone through the grace of God and our Blessed Mother and through the intercession of Louisa was able to awaken us. You know, so I agree there 100%. And, you know, the Essenes, it's really interesting because they were the ones that had the hunger. They had the desire. Remember, Jesus says, we must have an ardent desire. In fact, he says in volume 4 or volume 6, he says, anyone in the state of grace with that ardent desire, really wanting this gift and have an upright intention, which just basically means we want this for God first, above all. He says, I guarantee I'll give it to you. You'll get it. So again, that's why, you know, this exile is so, so important. You know, think about it. Did St. Hannibal, I mean, again, please don't misunderstand. I'll try to quantify what I'm saying. Did Louisa, I mean, she had a first grade education. Did St. Hannibal, who only read and studied up to 19, did he know this as much as he needed to live totally in the divine will? Yeah, he did. Again, is this going to, can this come to us without reading 36 volumes? That's a question. And if we say, no, you must read the 36 volumes, that's a heresy. To say that you must read this in order to get this, that's a heresy. Gnosticism, is it? I'm trying to think. Again, we cannot say that. What we can say is, again, since this is a mystical gift, since God wants all of us to return, if he's given us access to the Book of Heaven, whether it be in print, in audio, in Braille, it doesn't matter. He is expecting us to use it. Because it is the quickest way, the quickest route into his most holy divine will and into the kingdom. But again, mystical gifts are not given like our baptismal gifts. They're not given equally. They're given whatever God decides. If he can give it to whomever he wishes, when he wishes, to what extent he wishes. So again, anyone can receive this gift. In fact, that's what he says in volume 16. I don't have that quote in front of me. I'm so sorry. He says, I had to make this gift, this era of sanctification. He says, I had to make this so easy and accessible to all, that it might be accessible in all circumstances, in all situations, and in all conditions, except if the soul doesn't want it. End quote. So take away the, if we don't want it, let's say we do want it, he's already telling us, I guarantee I'm going to give it to you. Now, again, when he gives us the gift of divine will, it doesn't mean we're getting it exactly the way Louisa has it. Could he? Of course he could. Is he going to? I don't know. I just want to get in the foyer. But yeah, what he's going to do is he's going to give us that opportunity. Again, we've done nothing to deserve this. Nothing of our works or lack of works has gotten us to where we are now. This is a gift. But, however, once we're given notice of the gift, now we have that option. Now it's up to us. How much are we going to put into it? You know, we use that silly analogy. By bringing us into the gift of the divine will, he's taken us out of the storm. He's brought us into the foyer. And now he says, okay, what do you want? And of course, we want to explore. And the more we explore, the more we're going to uncover, the more we're going to unveil. Think about that beach house that's closed up for the winter and they throw sheets over all the furniture. Well, now it's our job to go and unsheet everything. And wow, look at this beautiful couch. Wow, look at that. Again, we're using silly analogies, but that's our work. And we do that by listening, by studying, and just allowing God to speak to us. Again, he can only communicate so much through our vernacular. Again, these are divine realities coming through, you know, human terms. So we have to look at what he's given us in our vernacular, and that we meditate on. And then we have to give away our meditation when we've sort of taken that to its limit. We have to let go of it and let God now give us the gift of contemplation. And now he takes where the meditation left off, he takes it now to a whole different level. He's the one that's going to take us back. We can't get there by ourselves, but it's available every single day to us. And we don't know when God's going to give it to us. Again, not in its totality, but to get us out of the storm. That's all I'm concerned with right now. God, please take me out of the storm. I'll worry about what's next after that. And right now, he tells us he's made that available to everyone. So every day along this journey, every day from exile back to our fatherland, we have an opportunity to move God. And now we know we can even go further than moving God. We can enchant God to give us this gift. This is how we're going to get the gift. It's through the journey, not when we're at the end. At the end, we know what's going to happen. He knows what's going to happen. He knows way before that. It's our journey that's going to make or break us. So that's why we must embrace this every day. One day, tomorrow could be the day that we are received into the divine will. It may have been yesterday. It may have been last week. We don't know. All our job is to do the best we can every day, one day at a time. And every day is a gift. It's a treasure. And it might be the day that puts us into eternal happiness. That is extraordinary. Not what I said, but what's been given to us.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. And we're here.
It is amazing.
We're in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. So, great supplication. Thank you, Maureen, for that. We're going to bring up the material now. Got a lot to cover here, but again, we're trying to go slowly. We're not trying to speed through it because there's so much here. I remember what St. Hannibal said. St. Hannibal, who's a saint, of course, and spiritual director to Melanie Calvert of Our Lady of La Salette, of course, to Louisa for 17 years. He said he only read one or two passages a day because he wanted to read it and understand it to the best of his ability, to his human capability, so that he had done his part and then God will do the rest. One or two passages a day. That's what he suggested. And when it came to spreading this gift to others, he says he didn't shout from the rooftops. He didn't tell everybody he saw. He would only approach those who he was inclined or moved to do so with. God makes this so easy. It's not only, doesn't mean we have to stand on the street corner. We don't have to hand out pamphlets. We don't have to hand out cards like I do. You don't have to do this. We don't have to do this. But I guess if God inclines us to do this, or we don't know anybody, it's okay. We don't mean there's no harm in it. But God's really made this so easy for us. Again, he wants everybody, unless we don't want it. All conditions, all circumstances, in every scenario. So none of us should ever think we're not worthy, we're not going to receive this. We have the opportunity if we're in the state of grace. We have that option. We can say, okay, you know what? I don't want to be in the state of grace. Okay, then we don't want the gift. But if we get ourselves in the state of grace, which is not that difficult, the sacrament of reconciliation, go to confession, desire this gift, and have your desire formed in the right reason. You want to please God. Of course, we want to save ourselves. We want to save our family. We want to save humanity, of course. But first and foremost, we want to please God. And God says, he'll give it to us. End of story. And then our journey begins. And it's beginning every day in the exile. Maria, as we've talked about, the best passage that I found that represents this journey in the exile. Again, if anyone finds one that competes with this, please, I'm all ears and eyes. It's volume 17, October 23rd, 1924, which is just, again, Jesus knew that he had to give us more. Again, but he's a just giver. He'll give commensurate to what we deserve and what we want, of course. So we read, I forget what volume that's in also, but I'm forgetting everything. He said that the greatest thing we can do to receive this gift is to move God in order to give it to us, to give God a reason to give it to us. But now he's saying, I'm going to take that to another level. He says, now, for the small soul, for the small individual who is journeying through this exile, he takes such great pleasure that God is enchanted and he feels disarmed of many chastisements which the creatures draw upon themselves. So this is the antidote. This is the best defense to the evils of the world today. The only antidote that there is, which is the gift of living the divine will. So again, God's raised the bar. He's only done it so that he has an opportunity to give us more grace that he feels we're going to need during these very, very tumultuous times. Anything to add to that, Maureen?
No, Peter.
A lot of good. Blah, blah, but you know, just, I get so excited. You know, I was really tired before this, but yeah, you'd never know.
Me
it, right?
Me too.
But this is everything.
Yeah.
This is everything. And he says, this is not for many. I mean, we're talking about the exile. I think we're all understanding now the importance of the exile. And yet there may be 9 or 10 of us. And that's okay. That's beautiful.
How many people were on the ark? Or, you know what I mean? Like, how many people were at the manger? It just follows on with everything that's ever. True. Whenever Jesus does everything, anything big and holy and sacred, no one's there. It's crazy. But it just shows that he doesn't need a lot of people. He's God.
That's true.
He doesn't
That's
need anybody. You know what I mean?
I can't wait to hear the recording because I want to be able to paraphrase exactly what you just said in those two sentences. You probably can't repeat it because, you know, your mind is sticking like mine probably. But yeah. You said that really, really well. And he doesn't need many. Look what he did with 12.
Yeah.
He changed the face of the earth with 12. He says there'll be very few. He doesn't mention them. He says there'll be very few of you at first, I think he says. But in the end, it'll be all. And again, through the chastisements, when the 2/3 of humanity is no longer here, he indicates that those remaining will be living in the divine will. And that would make perfect sense because when Satan is released, I think after 1,000 years or so, he'll have no hosts. See, Satan is like a leech. He must get into somebody and he must use them for nefarious reasons. But there'll be nobody to say yes to Satan anymore. Because everybody will be in the divine will. They'll be protected by God, protected by our Blessed Mother. I mean, they'll look at us and they'll run away, not because of us, but because of whom we represent, of whom is in us. You know, it's incredible on how this journey, you know, I remember Father Inez when I first met him, he says, Peter, be ready because in your journey, in the beginning, you're going to be attacked like you've never been attacked before. He says, but just stay steadfast because there's going to come a breaking point where you're going to get to a point where now Satan is going to say, you know what? I'm not even going to challenge this guy or this gal anymore. Because I see more of God than I see more of that person. He says, so you, when you hit the break point, you know, you're past almost like initiation. You know, like you're gonna be hazed and then all of a sudden, you know, you're gonna pass and we get to that point. Because again, God wants, he says nothing can be given without a test. Mm-hmm. He tested Adam and he failed. He was a very easy test. I think he's giving us pretty much the same test, very easy. Do we love God? We care for God. He's not looking, do you have the 36 volumes memorized? No, he's not going to ask us that question. Have you done the best you can? Have you read as much as you can? Have you given up those frivolous things? That's what he's going to ask. That's what's important in our journey. He's going to fill in all the blanks. We can't do this. Mm-hmm. It's silly to think we can. It's beautiful. Okay. We are down here. I'm just going to jump to it so we can do some new material today. We're going to start here. Maureen, if I can ask you, and I'm not going to interrupt you, if we can read the red, we'll pause for a moment and then we'll start the new material before we run out of time. But I'm going to get the pointer out if I can. Zoom changed everything here, and I'm just trying to find while I was away, and now I'm trying to find where everything is. Okay. Got it.
In order to explain myself better, according to our human language, I will say that I see a shadow of God in the whole creation, because in the whole creation, some place he has cast the shadow of his beauty, some place his fragrances, some place his light, as in sun, in which I see a special shadow of God. I see him as though concealed within this sphere, as the king of all other spheres. What is the sun? It's nothing but a globe of fire. One is the globe, but its rays are many. From this we can easily understand how the globe is God, and the rays are the immense attributes of God.
I'm going to include that in the email when I send out when this program is uploaded, because reading that once, it just whets your appetite. There's so much there that God has explained to us. And again, he talks about according to our human language, to our human vernacular, nothing can be expressed. How can divine realities be expressed through human terms? It cannot be. But that language of heaven, that understanding behind the vernacular, that's what God wants us to thrive for, to desire, to want, to have explained to us. And again, we can do that in all circumstances, in all situations, in every condition. Whether we can walk, talk, see, hear, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. There's no handicap. There's no handicap that can prevent this from happening. Mm-hmm. And for those who don't know what's available, that's like you mentioned, Maureen, in the beginning, that's where our axe and rounds come into play. Yeah. We're enchanting God so much that he's going to drop this dew of desire, this dew of wanting, of clinging to God that the creatures never felt before. And it's going to draw them to the divine will. So again, that's the greatest way we can share this gift. We can't go to everyone in the world and, hey, you know about the divine will, here, take this piece of paper, here, here's a card. No, God can do this in the instant with all souls, past, present, and future. Again, that's just so mind-boggling.
I guess if we remember that when we're praying in the divine will, it's God praying, correct? Yeah. I mean, aren't they divine things that are happening?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if we have to keep remembering that, it's not us, it's him. And so you can see the worth and the value of our prayers and acts. It's not just human, it's divine. And like the Holy Father, John Paul, he said, welcome the divine way of holiness that is coming. Not holiness, the divine holiness that's coming. So I know for me, I have to keep reminding myself, you know, I'm walking, but it's Jesus walking. So it's really, you really have to be attentive and you really have to try and remember these things. And then I think that's half the battle. It's Jesus doing these things. So of course it's going to save the world. He's back. You know, I mean, he's doing our
he's
acts.
Back. I like
you know what I mean? Back. He's doing the rounds. We're giving him a field to come down and work again, to give an outpouring of his love somewhere. And so it's, once you realize there's truths, there's simple truths, I think it's easier to understand.
And you know, Maureen, he to your point, he is back. He is back, and many see it. I asked Father News, is this what St. Cyril and St. Bernard of Clairvaux were talking about? He says, absolutely. And for those of you who have not heard or read, St. Bernard of Clairvaux and St. Cyril Jerusalem in the 300s and then the 1100s, both doctors and fathers of the church. And in fact, St. Bernard is actually in the breviary, read by the clergy every day. They both state of this three comings of our Lord. I know it sounds heretical, but it's not. There are three comings of our Lord. The third coming lies between the first two, as St. Cyril says. It's after the first coming, which happened 2,000 years ago. That's before the last coming, which will be whenever God wants to come last. It's that intermediate coming, that we'll call it coming 1.5, to prepare the way for his second coming, to mark his children. Well, especially our lady was given that test, to mark the children that are going to receive this gift, that are going to usher in the new and divine way of holiness, as Maureen just reminded us of what St. Pope John Paul II said at the canonization of St. Hannibal de Francia. Oh, this three, now again, I would probably recommend not to someone brand new to this gift of the divine will. I wouldn't say that there's three comings of our Lord. This is the third coming. They're probably going to run away because it sounds heretical. But if you put it into context, it's not. And these saints and doctors of the church have spoken about this to no oppression. I mean, there's been no rebuking of it. There are three comings of our Lord. We're living through, like you said, Maureen, he's here. We're living through his third coming, which is really coming 1.5 right now. Can you imagine if we miss this opportunity? 10 years would go by and we say, what were you doing when our Lord was coming in his third visit between 1 and 2? What were you doing? Were you attentive? He asked us to be attentive. Were we constant? He asked us to be constant. Were we alert? He asked us to be alert. It doesn't take much. And again, he says, I'll make this third coming, this era preparation, the sanctification, I'll make it available to everyone in all circumstances, in all conditions, in every place, unless they don't want it. So again, if we don't know about it, that's our job. For those who don't know about this gift, who have never heard of Luisa Picaretta, I mean, we're fortunate. October 13, 2014, Deacon John Thompson, the father of Maureen Lamadi, mentioned Luisa Picaretta, mentioned the divine will, told us enough to get us excited about it. And then we did our research that night, and my wife and I looked at each other and said, that's it, over. This is what God has wanted us and waiting for us to find. And my life has been the greatest it's ever been. I have the fewest of things I've ever had in my life, but I'm the happiest.
You're free.
Yeah. And now I understand. I understand what's meant by that. Less is best. And what's that phrase? In our nothingness, we will find our everything. Because nothing is important out there. Everything it's a mirage. Read Psalm 73. One day, those who possessions are their life, one day they're going to wake up as if it's all been a dream. It's not going to be there. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's here forever is God and our soul in either one or two places. There's no third place. There's three comings, but there's only two places our soul can reside for all of eternity. And Maureen, someone told me all of eternity, that's a really long time.
Yeah.
We can't even fathom that. So again, opportunity is here. Everything is in front of us. He doesn't want to make this difficult. He doesn't want to make this onerous, but he wants to see, do we desire it? Are we willing to make sacrifice? Are we willing to pass the test? Whatever test he's going to give us. Some tests are going to be easier than others. But we're all in this together, and we need each other, and we can't work against each other. We really can't. How much time do we have left? Okay, so we can begin the new material. It's exciting. Okay. So he was just talking about, that was the first way. Now he's going to talk about the second example of this beautiful gift, how we can get it, or how we can reject it if we want to, because again, God's never going to invalidate our free will.
Second. The sun is fire, but it is also light and heat. Here is the most holy Trinity veiled in the sun. The fire is the Father. The light is the Son. The heat is the Holy Spirit.
Please try to remember that. I'm going to also include that in the email. That is a great, great line. The most holy Trinity veiled in the sun. Amazing.
However, the sun is one, and just as one cannot separate fire from light and heat, so one is the power of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who in reality cannot be separated from one another. And just as fire produces light and heat at the same time, in such a way that fire cannot be conceived without light and heat, in the same way, the Father cannot be conceived before the Son and the Holy Spirit, and vice versa. But all three of them have the same eternal beginning.
You know, I thought about this, Maureen. I thought that something like this, you know, you'd expect even to see like in the Dropbox series, because it's so spot on, but yet it's so easy to understand. Now, again, although I didn't understand it when I first read it, I had to read it again a couple times. But think about this explanation of the Holy Trinity with the examples of the fire and the Son, with the Holy Spirit. And again, it all, the more we read it and we ask, come divine will, please pray in our praying, read in our reading, study in our studying. And after we read it, we sort of follow Jesus' advice. We rest, we stop, and we wait until he adds to, or maybe subtracts from, or leaves it just as it is. But give God time to do something. We use our vernacular, let him do what he does best, which is move interiorly in our hearts and our souls. He's going to do it. It's only a matter of time.
Yes. I add that the light of the sun diffuses everywhere. In the same way, God penetrates everywhere with his immensity. However, let us remember that this is but a shadow, because the sun cannot reach where it cannot penetrate with its light, while God penetrates everywhere.
Okay. I put a stop here because this is really important to, I have to pull out the passage from The Nothingness of the Soul. It's a compilation by Father Celso. The Nothingness of the Soul, it's on our website, aquinthedivinewill.org. It's in the Divine Will Resource Library. And Jesus talks about, again, simple but profound explanation that we are nothing but a shadow. And think about that. A shadow needs something to cause it, right? So God is the cause. He's the uncaused cause. And when God is present, there be a shadow, because we have the sun. And we're something. We're his delight. But without God, there's no shadow. We are nothing. So, you know, when we keep saying, and Jesus keeps telling us that we are nothing, we are nothing without God. But to God and with God, we are everything. We are his darling. And how can we be nothing, but yet everything at the same time? Well, it all depends on our disposition. It all depends on our love. It all depends on our fiat. Very simple things that can either make or break us. And again, he's not going to force us into either way. He says, I accept your decision either way. But I'm going to give you every reason to why you should feel this way. He's going to encourage us, but not force us. Incredible. Okay.
God is most pure spirit, and we can represent him with the sun, which makes its rays penetrate everywhere, and no one can grab them with their hands. Moreover, God looks at everything, the iniquities and the evils of men, but he remains always as he is, pure, holy, and immaculate. A shadow of God is the sun, which sends its light over rubbish, but remains immaculate. It spreads its light in the fire, but is not burned, in the sea and in the rivers, but is not drowned. It gives light to all. It fecundates everything. It gives life to all with its heat, but does not become poor in light, nor does it lose any of its heat. Even more, while it does so much good to all, it needs no one and remains always as it is, majestic, shining, ever immutable.
This explanation, or these explanations here, are just so profound. And I don't even want to make any more comments. You're free to make comments. I don't want to make any more comments because I don't want to mess up what was just read and was so beautiful. But I do want to say that the next couple lines, and I think we just have pretty much just about time for that, maybe a little more, are also so incredibly important. And again, it may not appear it, but again, everything God has written, everything that he shared with Louisa, that Louisa penned is really vitally important for us. And again, it allows us to know God and, of course, at the same time, know ourselves. It also affords us the opportunity to love God. And, of course, the more we love God, the more we want to serve God. And now we understand through the explication that to know, love, and serve God, the best way to do that and to accomplish that is to possess God. God says, here I am. Will you take me, basically? And he leaves us up to our discretion. Yes, or no, thank you. But he does say somewhere in the volumes, for somebody who understands the value of this gift and rejects it, Jesus says that soul would have been better off not being born. Very, very powerful statement. Some say, wow, that's pretty mean-spirited. No, it's not. It's just being honest. God is truth. God only knows truth. And God is going to give us the truth. So that, yeah, maybe we do get a little afraid of it. Maybe we do get a little concerned about it. Well, we should be. I mean, we're playing, the game we're playing, it's not a game, but the game we're playing is for all the marbles. It's for everything. Like we just discussed, you know, Marie, this is for all of eternity, a really long time. One of two places. There are no three places. Yeah, I mean, there's a one place purgatory that's going eventually, but the end, the final is going to be in one of two places. Oh, okay, that's fine. I don't know what kind of ads are going to go on there. So that's just incredible. Any thoughts on that, Maureen?
No, you said it all.
Wow.
Yeah.
I said too much, right? Okay, so let's read this one and ask our Lord to enlighten us with what he wants to tell us this evening, especially through these next couple lines.
Oh, how well one can see the divine qualities in the sun. With his immensity, God is present in the fire, but is not burned. In the sea, but is not drowned. Under our steps, but is not trampled. He gives to all, but does not become poor, and needs no one. He looks at everything. Even more, he is all eyes, and there is nothing he does not hear. He is aware of each fiber of our hearts, of each thought of our minds. But, being most pure spirit, he has neither ears nor eyes, and no matter what happens, he never changes. The sun invests the world with its light, and it does not tire. In the same way, God gives life to all, helps and rules the world, and he does not tire. It almost sounds like he's already yeah. Inside of us. I mean, he's already part of us. I mean, the divine will kind of like is, I don't know. I mean, we have to say yes to it. I know, but he's already kind of there. I mean, he loves us so much.
Well, you're exactly right, Maureen. You know, we were born with the divine will in our DNA.
Yeah.
It's part of us. Now, it was deactivated, you know, for lack of a better phrase, when Adam sinned, but it wasn't extracted from the soul. It's still there, and it's still operating. I mean, if we look at it, you know, we always say that, you know, Adam lost everything when he sinned. He lost almost everything. God did leave some of the divine will there, because the divine will is what beats our heart, breathes our lungs, and flows our blood. Nothing else does that. We're not hooked up to a machine, you know, 24/7. Well, maybe some of us are, but I'm just talking normal terms. So if he did take everything away, we would have ceased to exist. But if we had ceased to exist, there would have been no opportunity for redemption and no opportunity for this third coming, the sanctification, and of course, for eternal bliss with him. But it's interesting here because he repeats a lot of words that he's already stated.
Yeah.
But somehow they take a different meaning. I mean, at least I feel something different. I'm imagining, picturing something different, but yet it's the same words. Is it the way he positioned them? Is it the extra words he added to it to make it all flow and make sense, to give us the analogy of the sun, the shadows? Again, it's metaphoric, but it's really pretty much, you know, where everyone can understand this in their own way. Because remember, it's only the way we understand that's important to God. It's not one way. And that's why, you know, we can be helped throughout our entire journey through, you know, all the help. Father Celso, Father Iannuzzi, you know, the Father Young, Father Brown, Mother Gabriel. But we're all cheerleaders, just drawing us into God's bosom. God is the only one that's going to teach us this gift. And he's going to teach us this gift the way we're able to learn it, because we're all disposed differently. We're all have different experiences. We all have different levels of education. We have all different everything. So how can God make this one shoe fit all? Well, because, yeah, one shoe does fit all, but he's custom tailoring each one for each one of us individually. That's why we have our individual God. Each of us has our own individual Jesus Christ that's working with us hand in hand, partnering with us to make sure that we get to where he wants us to be. And he wants us to want to get to where he wants us to be. Otherwise, it's impossible.
Peter, was it in divine will that it said that in heaven we all have our own Jesus? I think it might have been here. I think I remember. I don't know what else I would have read it, but yeah. Everybody has their own Jesus. You don't have to wait to talk to him in heaven. He's there. You all have your. So it, what you just said about, you know, we all have our own Jesus, or we all have our own God down here. It's individual.
Yeah.
And that's what the kingdom is coming from heaven to here. So whatever they're doing in heaven, we can do here. So, you know.
Well, he's expecting us to do it here. And he's giving us the grace to do it. Because like you said early on, it's really not us doing it, but rather he who's doing it in us.
Yeah.
Remember, the body is just an expression of the soul. So if we fuse our soul, our will with God's will, and our body will express what God expresses, which is love, which is patience, which is tenderness. It's all, again, his attributes. And that's the way we were supposed to be. That's the way some of us still are. But we've been corrupted. We've been tainted. We've been deactivated. And God's going to change all that really, really quickly. And he's offering it to us. Again, he's asking for a small group of people to be drawn so intimately close to him that the understanding of God will be really something that's never been experienced in a real long time, and only experienced with very few. And God's given us nobodies this opportunity. And again, we have to remember, we're doing this, we want to do this for the glory of God and for the assistance of our brothers and sisters. We love God and love our neighbor. Those are the two greatest commandments that we can have. Everything else falls under that. Mm-hmm. That's what God's trying to instill in us. He's trying to break. He's the greatest WD-40 can in the world. He's trying to break the rust on each and every one of us. And he's doing it every day. If we allow him, he's not going to force us. Final thought, Maureen.
No, I just thought, I was thinking when you were saying this, you know, no wonder the evil one's shaking in his boots.
Absolutely.
Because he's going to be looking everywhere, and all he's going to be seeing is Jesus.
Absolutely.
So, and he knows this is happening, I would think.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to stay focused and stay unified.
Yeah.
As a group.
True.
Yeah.
Someone once said that Satan knows he's going to lose because he has intellect. He knows he's going to lose, but he's so evil that now it's a matter of how many souls can he take from God.
Before, yeah.
How many souls can he send or help send to damnation? Because he doesn't send, but we allow him to send us. So it's all a matter of the numbers now. How many can he strip? Mm-hmm. Everything that's going on in the world that's not good right now is a direct attack against God. The family, the marriage, everything. If you look deeply, it's an attack against God being played out through us. But that's all it is. It's the final battle. And we do know who wins. But we don't know everybody that's on the winning team. And that's where all the cheerleaders are going to try to help to get the focus on God, on this, the greatest of all gifts that God has given to us and that God can give to us. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I'd like to end with a quick supplication. It's a passage from Volume 14, 9-11, 1922. We've read it a couple times in pieces today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus speaking to Louisa, through Louisa to us, quote, Therefore, there is nothing that I did which did not have as primary purpose that man take possession of my divine will and I of his. This was my primary purpose in creation, the same in redemption. This was my primary purpose in the sacraments that I instituted. The many graces given to my saints have been but the seeds, the means, the way in which to let man reach this possession of my divine will, end quote. So again, not trivializing anything he's given us, the sacraments, the church, but everything has been given us to us for one ultimate reason, one ultimate goal, the end game, to bring us back. And that's exactly what this journey through the exile is doing. We're on our way back. We're moving forward, going back. Couldn't get any better than this. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you, Marie.
Thanks, Peter.
We'll have, Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will coming to us live tomorrow. Yes.
I'm fine.
On Radio Maria. I'm trying to think what day it is. Radio Maria tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Yeah. I'm not sure if we're going to have, for the first time, Mother from Marysville, Tennessee. It quite possibly could happen tomorrow. I haven't spoken to her. But if it doesn't happen tomorrow on Radio Maria, it will happen on Sunday as we have them at 2 o'clock. So exciting times.
Divine
will is spreading. It really is spreading. Thanks be to God. Thanks, Maureen.
Okay.
Love everybody. Be kind to one another.
Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.